Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
All right, Matthew chapter number 8. I don't know if anybody remembers, but our Sunday night series is supposed to be Getting to Know Matthew's Jesus. Does anybody remember this series? And we have not been there in a long time because this is that time of year where you don't have a lot of Sunday night services. And then the ones you do, like we had a Sunday night service for Kevin and Amanda that night, you remember, and we preached about the home. So been in some other places. But this is our Sunday night series for the year, preaching through the book of Matthew, getting to know Matthew's Jesus, getting to know the Jesus that Matthew knew, that Matthew wrote about from his perspective. So that's what we're talking about tonight. From Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 1. Let's begin reading. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said unto him, See thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to the earth to live and to die for our sins. We thank you for the record that we have here and your word of it. Pray that you bless this time that we have here together now as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. Did I do something? I feel like I'm ringing. Do I feel like I'm ringing to y'all? Am I all good? Do I need to switch mics? I can just use this one if I need to, Brother John. Just go with it. All right. Getting to know Matthew's Jesus. Now, in this next section of the book of Matthew here in chapter number 8, we're going to deal with three miracles. There's a lot of miracles. We're finally up to the miracles part of Jesus' life, and we're going to deal with three in particular here. In chapter number 8, we're going to deal with an untouchable leper, an unacceptable Gentile, and an unprofitable woman. Those will be our next three Sunday nights here from Matthew chapter number 8. Tonight, we read of the untouchable leper. And what a wonderful story it is. There's probably some better stories of lepers and leprosy in the Bible, but this one in particular is unique to me because it's just as good, but it's in a lot less verses. Now, don't you like big things that come in small packages? So I'm very excited to talk about the untouchable leper here tonight. By way of introduction, let me just say about lepers that we all know about lepers. They're considered to be unclean. Not only physically unclean, you didn't want to touch them because you might catch what they had, but also they were spiritually unclean. Religious. Their religion wouldn't allow them to take part because they were seen as sinful because of the disease that they had. Can you imagine if that was our mentality today? If a person got cancer and we said, oh, you've sinned against God and that's why you have cancer, you can't come to church anymore, you're unclean. You imagine if that's how we did? Really, if you think about it, we do that with some diseases, I guess, but probably not as bad as they did here, especially with something like leprosy that you could just catch, I guess, by touch. You didn't have to do anything immoral necessarily to catch it, but they were considered unclean. Now, get the picture here, grab the scene in your mind. I know it's just four verses, but we have this multitude and they're following Jesus through this town down off of the mountain. Does anybody remember what he was up on the mountain doing? Beatitudes. That's right. Jesus was giving the Beatitudes. Now, I skipped the Beatitudes in our getting to know Matthew's Jesus, not because I don't like the Beatitudes. I don't think they're good, but I want to focus on the individual stories of things that happened with Jesus' interaction. We kind of skipped over the Beatitudes in our study here. But this multitude is following Jesus when a leper approaches him in worship or to worship. And can you imagine this leper is coming at Jesus, and either he's coming behind him or he's coming towards him either way, and then there's multitude with him. And what do you think the people do as the leper comes around? Think they crowd around Jesus? No, they probably scatter. They probably part. I imagine they part like the parting of the Red Sea. Here comes this leper, and as he goes into them, they kind of just open up like this and get away from Jesus. And you have left, and you can imagine this. I'm imagining this town with a dirt road and some dirty-looking storefronts or something like that, you know, or housing. And Jesus is walking down through that town. There's a mountain behind him. These people are around him. And they spread apart. And then there stands Jesus. And there stands that leper. I can imagine that as we see this leper come towards Jesus and Jesus is standing there, that you probably heard some people say some things. What do you imagine they were saying? What did you say to a leper? What was a leper supposed to say to you? Unclean, unclean. They were probably saying, no, get the kids. He's unclean. He's coming towards us. Don't let this guy near our children or us. We don't want to catch what he's got. Can you imagine? I mean, I imagine that's exactly what was happening there. And from the crowd emerges a scene of just Jesus and this leper. And that's what we have left there in our story tonight. Matthew tells us that Jesus touches what society called an untouchable man. While the crowd desperately tries to avoid him by shouting unclean, by shoving away, Jesus stands and meets this man. Isn't that wonderful? In touching this leper, we read that Jesus makes him clean, heals him of his leprosy. I would say to us here tonight that at one point in all of our lives, we were all unclean. Amen? We were all at one time unclean. We were the untouchable. We were the one that, don't get around them, they're unclean. Now, those of you who grew up in church like me, we don't get included in that, right? Now, quote the verse I gave you this morning, they're an unrighteous, no chance, not even one. Right? I feel like that was written directly to me. My message didn't take very well this morning, by the way. I preached on the importance of church, and look how many people stayed home tonight. Call them up and preach it again at them, I think, probably. No, I'm just kidding. We're all at one point unclean. God Himself could not be with us because of what? Sin. God cannot be with sin. You and I are born into sin, so we were unclean. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." We're separated from God because of our sins. Just as this leper comes to Jesus, realizing he needs to be made clean, we became aware of our sinful state and searched for a remedy. You remember that day when you became aware of you were unclean? You were untouchable? You were that one that everybody at church was praying for? And you began to search for a remedy to cure your sin-sick state? Well, it's a good day, isn't it? It's a good time to remember that. You may not even realize what you were doing as you begin to approach that time of salvation in your life. But looking back on it now, you can say, the Holy Spirit was working on my heart and I was on my way to find Jesus. What a wonderful time. We get a picture of that through this leper here tonight who heard that this man, just with touch, could make you clean. If you can just get near him, you won't be a leper anymore. Your family will want to be around you again. Your children won't be afraid of you anymore. If you'll just allow Jesus to touch you, your life will change. And here he goes, realizing that he needs a remedy, and he goes to Jesus, even among a crowd. He's not supposed to be around a lot of people. He's not supposed to be in town. But he doesn't care at this point because he wants a remedy. I remember that day for me. I was supposed to be saved. My daddy was a preacher. We were important people at our church because we were always there. We were right. Everybody else was wrong. They didn't think that way, but I did as a child. I used to wear a yellow sport coat to church, bright yellow sport coat to church. I was as saved as any other kid. I'd been baptized twice. Right? But that night when I realized I needed a remedy, 11 years old, I busted through the crowd. I didn't care who was there, who wasn't there. I went from the back of the church to the altar as quick as I can. I got on my knees searching for a remedy. We became aware of our sinful state and began searching for a remedy. We, as untouchable, were touched by Jesus and made whole. We who were unclean were made clean by Jesus. We, sick with sin, found Jesus, the only remedy for the sin-sick soul. Jesus touched the untouchable leper and made him clean. Now let's take that tonight. And let me give you three things that we notice in our passage here. Beginning in verse number 2, let's notice the leper's approach. Look at chapter 8, verse number 2. "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Have you ever had to decide your approach to something? You ever had to tell somebody something hard and you didn't know how you were going to tell them and you had to think about beforehand, how am I going to approach this? Have you ever had a day before you that was a hard day? You didn't know how you were going to go about it, and you had to think ahead of time, how am I going to approach this? Well, this leper, he's got an amazing approach as he comes at Jesus. I mean, rightly so, somebody should have grabbed him and pushed him away from this crowd. Somebody should have tried to keep him away from Jesus. He was unclean, right? Let's look at his approach. He got there. He got healed. And a lot of that has to do with his approach. This leper approaches Jesus in faith. First, we see that he worshiped. You know, we don't worship that in which that we don't believe. In fact, we could take it a step further and say, we don't worship that which we're not convinced of. But you believe in something, you get convinced about something, and you will worship it. Now, obviously we should worship God and God only. But think of it on lighter terms than that, just to make a point here tonight. Some of you are a big fan of our chairs that we have in the back of the church back there. We've got pews, and they're padded, and they're very comfortable. How many of you have actually sat on one of those chairs during church, though? Some of you worship those chairs. I mean, not literally worship those chairs, but you're convinced of them, you believe in them, they're comfortable, you like them, you want them. Some of you said to me, let's get all chairs. These are very comfortable. I really, really like these chairs. When we're convinced of something, we believe in something, that's the point at which we begin to worship it. As this leper who is unclean, who is a cast out, who nobody wants to be around. His own family doesn't have him around. Whether they want to or not, they don't. He comes to Jesus, and in his approach is to worship him. There's only one worthy of worship. This man comes to Jesus in worship. In a sense, by coming in worship, he's saying, Jesus, I believe in you, and I worship you for who you are before you ever do a thing for me. That's proper worship. Jesus, I've heard you could heal me, but I don't care if you heal me or not. I just believe you are God, and I want to worship you because of that. He worships beforehand, proclaiming, I believe Jesus is who he says he is, even if he never touches me. He worships, though, in faith, hoping Jesus will notice and heal him. And the second thing we see, not only did he worship, but he also proclaims something. In faith, he publicly states, did you notice what he states? You can heal me if you will. Jesus, you don't have to do anything for me, but I want you to know that I believe that you could heal me. Jesus, before you ever heal me, without sight, I believe. What do we call believing without seeing? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we notice this leper's approach. We see he approached in faith. Second, in verse number 3, let's notice Jesus' compassion. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Can you imagine? I don't know how quickly that came about. It seems pretty quick in their passage here, just 4 verses. That's pretty fast, right? He comes to Jesus. Everybody scatters. Him and Jesus standing there. He worships him. And he says, you can heal me if you will. And Jesus says, I will, be clean. And he's clean. Well, that's a life change immediately. Well, and Jesus compassionately goes about that. He doesn't say, well, how'd you get so dirty? He doesn't say, well, boy, if you take better care of yourself, you may have never became a leper. No, Jesus just said, I will. He said, I worship you. You're God. I believe you are who you say you are. I've heard about what you can do, and I believe that you can do it for me, if you will. And you don't even have to, but I just want you to know where I stand on things, Jesus. And Jesus said, I will be clean. Well, what a wonderful thing. Jesus' compassion. We see that first in that he touched him. Even if Jesus had never healed this man, he shows compassion just by touching him. Even if he'd never healed him, if the guy had left a leper, just from Jesus reaching out and touching one that nobody else can touch. Do you understand how important touch is? Why do you think we shake hands? Why do you think we hug as a society? To even touch with your eyes is very important. To look somebody in the eye means something. There's a warmth to that. That's the difference between human interaction and Facebook. Touch is the difference. Touch is very important. Here's this man who's a castaway. What did we term this leper as? He was the what? Untouchable. That didn't mean he was some kind of superhero that no matter how hard anybody could try, they couldn't touch him. No. That meant no matter how hard he tried, they were never going to touch him. I don't want what he's got. I want to do good, so I'm going to give some of my money to Jesus' disciples because he's going around touching these people, but I'm not touching them myself. That's most people's mentality. Jesus reached out and touched this man. even if the man had remained a leper, not healed him, just touched him, right? That shows Jesus' compassion. It would have made that guy's day, even if he'd stayed a leper, just because somebody touched him. Just to feel the touch of another human being, a warm touch, to say, I realize that you're no different than me, other than you're sick. You're not weird. You're not abnormal. You just happen to have leprosy. And as another human being, I still love you. Jesus is compassionate here. He stayed. You think of that? This crowd's moving away like a wave of the sea. People are flying away. They're saying unclean. Jesus stayed right there. He spoke. Only thing anybody else ever said to this man was what? Unclean, unclean, get away. Jesus spoke to this man. Well, that's very important, isn't it? You ever had a time where nobody would speak to you? You ever get the silent treatment? Feels good when they finally start talking, doesn't it? You don't care what they say. Just talk to me. Come on. I'm sorry, I was wrong. You're right. Just speak to me. And then Jesus touched him. No one would dare touch a leper for fear of catching his awful disease, for fear of their religion calling them unclean for touching this man. Jesus shows compassion. This miracle is not the only miracle here. Jesus' compassion is miraculous. Think of His compassion toward us from the cross. He stayed. You ever thought of that? Jesus had lived a sinless life. Jesus had experienced everything that you and I ever go through, every temptation to sin, and every area of our lives, and did it without sin. I think if I'd accomplished that much in my life, even though I was sitting here for this wicked people and I had done it, I would say, well, they can do it too, and there's no reason for me to die for them. They're just lazy, and that's why they're in their sin, and I might not have got on the cross if I were Jesus. That's how I think about it. Jesus stayed. In the garden, it went like this. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Did you remember that? Did you remember Jesus prayed that? As he's getting ready to give his life for you and I, he got to a place where he said, Father, if it's possible, if there's another way, if there's anything else that can be done, let this cup pass from me. He didn't say it, but it's as if he's saying, I don't want to. I want to stay. I want to come back home, Daddy. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And then later on in that same chapter, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time. You ever gone to God with something three times? You're pretty much wanting Him to work on your behalf the way you're thinking when you go to God with the same thing three times. You're making triple sure that what you're about to do is what He wants you to do. And that's what Jesus is doing here. Prayed the third time, saying the same words. I read from Matthew 26 there. Matthew 27 reads this way. Once he'd already gone to the cross, he stayed. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He spent his whole life with them in disbelief. He went to the cross to redeem us and bring belief. And while he was on the cross, they said, Just come down, then we'll believe you. But he stayed. As he stood in town, this leper's coming at him and everybody else was running off. And here's this sin-stricken man coming towards him. Jesus stayed. As he hung on a cross and you and I, for our sins, have put him there and have taken his life away, he stayed. Secondly, we see on the cross this parallel that he spoke. Jesus said very few things on the cross, and everything that he said is very important, by the way. Let me give you some of those right here. In Luke, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. From the cross. Father, forgive them. You know what he said after that, right? What did he say? They don't even know what they're doing, for they know not what they do. Father, I ask you to let this cup pass from me, and it wasn't your will. Here I am, bleeding to death on a cross, according to your will. And in my dying breath, if I could ask anything of you, Father, you and I speak of Father as Father God, Almighty God. Jesus spoke to God as Abba, Father, Daddy. That's the word. When Jesus says Father, He's saying, Dad, Daddy. That brings in a different kind of love, doesn't it? He said, Dad, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. He spoke. Do you remember how important it was to this leper that Jesus stayed? Do you remember how important it was to this leper that Jesus spoke to him? Think about that in relation to us as Jesus on the cross, the things that He spoke. In John, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, It is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. It's important that He said that. When Jesus said, It is finished, you and I could be saved. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad He spoke. And then He touched. Remember how important it was that He touched this leper? He touched you and I from the cross. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What is He saying? Dad, why have you left me? Those of you with children, or those of you with a close relationship with your parents, that'll strike at the nerve, doesn't it? To hear it like that. Think of Jesus dying on the cross and looking up into heaven and saying to His daddy, why did you turn your back on me? This did your will. I asked you if this wasn't your will, I wanted to do this, but you led me here. And here I am on this cross, and why have you forsaken me? I just did everything you asked me to do. Imagine that as a child, saying that to your parent. Or as a parent, your child saying that to you. We, unclean and forever separated from God, because of what Jesus said here and what Jesus did here, were made from untouchable to touchable. Jesus, in compassion, reached out and touched us from the cross. He who knew no sin took on sin, our sin, to the place that His own Father turned His back on Him on the cross as He touched us. But Jesus didn't just touch Him and leave Him as He found Him. That's a miracle in itself, isn't it? That He stayed, that He spoke, that He touched. No, that's not all we read, is it? He healed this leper. He made him a new man. He changed his life. In compassion, Jesus allowed this man to leave different than he came. Do you remember that day when you went searching for a remedy and when you found it, you were a different person? You left different than you came? Well, it's a wonderful thing. I've been getting to show everybody the baptistry downstairs. And more times than not, I get tears. The people cry when I show them the baptistry. You know why? Because they start thinking about when they got baptized. And how special it was, and how special it's going to be for some people to get baptized in that pool. I was kind of joking with a man that delivered him. I said, buddy, you're delivering salvation on a truck here. Well, we're not saved by baptism. I don't mean that, but you get what I'm saying. He said, I know, I like my job. I said, yeah, I bet you do. In compassion, Jesus allowed this man to lead different than he came. He came as society's outcast. No longer would he have to be society's outcast. He could now come in contact with other people. He could now rebuild the life that he once had. He could now live in his home with his family again. Jesus not only redeemed us to God, but he allowed us to leave different than we came. Where would you be today had God not come into your home and not come into your life? Who would you be? What kind of person would you be? Who would your children be? Who would your friends be? Who would the rest of your family be that were impacted when you found Jesus? And Jesus found you. So we notice Jesus' compassion. We notice this leper's approach to Jesus. And then we see Jesus' compassion. And then one last thing before we go tonight. It's in verse number 4. And this one's a little bit of a shocker. We notice Jesus' faithfulness to the law. That's a little odd, isn't it? Look at verse 4. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou, tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Jesus asked him to tell no one. He did that to avoid unnecessary publicity. Jesus, at this point in His ministry, there was already multitudes following Him around. Jesus didn't need any extra. He had work to do. He had His Father's business to do. He was performing miracles, but He wasn't trying to start a healing line. Right? You understand this? Jesus wasn't renting out arenas and saying, come down here and we're going to take a big offering and everybody can get to me tonight. I'm going to touch you and I'm going to heal you and you might speak in tongues. What does that say to you about people who do that today? I'm not being like Jesus. That's not what Jesus did at all. Jesus traveled around doing the work God had Him to do from the virgin birth to the cross. That was His work. Along the way, He did heal some people. And He is the healer. He is the great physician. He could have stayed on earth and just healed people from now on. And those same people could still be living. I don't want everlasting life on the earth, do you? No. I just want to die. Man, I don't say that suicidal. But sometime in my life, I either want to be raptured or I want to be raptured. You can be raptured one or two ways, right? And that's why we can celebrate when a loved one dies. They're being raptured right then. Jesus is coming to get them. They're going to be with Him. It's an exciting time. While it's sad for us to grieve their loss, it's exciting for them and exciting for us later to think, well, they beat me to Jesus. I don't want to live forever. Jesus wasn't forming a healing line. So He tells him, don't tell anybody. Just, here's what I do want you to do, though. I've healed you. I've changed your life. I've made you a new person. Here's what I want you to do. Go and present yourself to the priest. This was the proper process at their time. It was established in the Old Testament. He tells them to go and do or give the gift that Moses had commanded. You go to the Old Testament, you can figure out what a leper was supposed to do. He had to be declared unclean, or he had to be declared clean before he could kind of enter back into society. And that's exactly what Jesus tells him to go do here. Notice at the end of the verse there why, though. For a testimony unto them. See, Jesus didn't come to earth to do away with the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And that's exactly what we see illustrated here in His faithfulness to the law. Yes, I've cleansed you. Yes, I've made you a new person. But I want you to still go to the priest for a testimony to them that there is fulfillment to the law. Well, that's wonderful. If you think about your salvation in relation to that. See, we like to think of our salvation as skirting the law. We like to think of it as finding a loophole or a workaround or getting off the hook. Because we like that as humans. That's why we like to win the lottery. That's like why we like to get away with speeding tickets. You know, we like to get out of things. You know, make it like we didn't do it ever to begin with. That's not what salvation is at all. For us to be able to think of our salvation as just getting off the hook, Jesus would have never had to get on the cross. But for you and I to receive salvation, somebody had to die, and it had to be a perfect sacrifice. And there is no loophole, there is no skirting the law there. When Jesus died on the cross, that was the fulfillment of the law. The law requires justice for our sins. And Jesus was the sacrifice to bring that justice. So don't think of your salvation as just some freebie, some get-out-of-jail-free card. It's not that at all. Your salvation took work. Praise God, it wasn't your works. Because our works would never be enough. That's right. Jesus did the work. And by sending this leper here, He had already done the work there too, right? He healed the man. The priest didn't heal the man. But He sent him to the priest as a testimony to them so that they could see that Jesus had come to fulfill the law. The law's demands have been made clean. We, through the law, because of the law's demands, we have been made clean through the blood of Jesus. So we read tonight of this untouchable leper. And I think probably all of these stories are very important, but for me, the untouchable leper here in Matthew chapter 8 is one of the first stories that really helps us get to know Jesus and His purpose. Getting to know Matthew's Jesus, you really get to grasp that good tonight. Isn't it great, though, to leave here tonight knowing that Jesus touched and untouchable. That's a fond reminder for all of us as we go through our week here. Don't think too highly of yourself than you ought to think. You are nothing more than a spiritual leper. You're unclean. You're untouchable. You're ruining your family. You're ruining your life. Everything that you thought you were doing right, you were doing wrong until you gave your life to God. And at that moment, He touched you, and untouchable.
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.